Okay, just imagine for a second. A world totally different from ours. No phone buzzing, no lights flicking on, no cars, nothing like that. Kind of hard to picture, isn't it? But like the invisible force behind all that stuff, all these inventions, big and small. Well, that's exactly what we're diving into today. We're peeling back the layers on this everyday Marvel science. So the mission for this deep dive, we're circling back to that chapter you explored, the one with your AI buddy, EB.AI. We're going to pull out the really key bits, the most important nuggets, you know? Make sure you feel totally clued in, maybe see it fresh, but without getting bogged down. Because science, it's not just stuck in labs, right? It's literally all around us. It shapes how we understand things, how we create, how we solve problems. Okay, let's unpack this. So where does it all begin? Well, deep down, it starts with something we all have: curiosity. I mean, think about it. From when we're tiny babies, we're just driven by wonder, aren't we? Touching, tasting, listening, watching, just trying to figure stuff out. Basic human thing, that urge to explore and understand. That's not just kid stuff, like the
Yes.
foundation of all science.
That's such a key point. And what's really cool is, that curiosity isn't just for the pros in white coats. It's behind every time you figure something out. Science, at its core, is this ongoing quest to understand the universe. But what makes it science is the systematic approach, observing things carefully, asking specific questions, making predictions, hypotheses, we call them, that you can actually test, then doing the experiments and critically looking at the results, the evidence. And that methodical evidence-first way, that's why science has such a huge reach, helping us predict the weather, create new medicines, explore space, figure out sustainable energy, all of it.
Okay, so curiosity lights the fire. Science is the engine. Where do we actually see this engine running day to day? Because it's definitely not just happening in labs, like you said.
Oh, absolutely not. It's everywhere, even when we don't notice. Take the stars twinkling at night. Sure, they're beautiful, but science tells us they're shining because of these massive nuclear reactions deep inside. Fusion, creating all the elements, even the ones in us. Or, flowers blooming in the garden. That's not just happening randomly. It's biology in action, photosynthesis, cells communicating, responding to light, temperature. It's complex.
And knowing how that works, the practical impact is just huge, isn't it? Understanding plant growth didn't just like help agriculture.
Exactly. It led to things like hybrid crops, precision farming, ways to feed billions more people. It's a direct line.
Right. And the same goes for medicine, technology. It's all built on these scientific discoveries, really making life better, safer. Okay, speaking of our world, let's zoom out for a sec. A quick tour of our cosmic neighborhood, the universe, and then back to our pretty special planet, Earth. Science tackles the big questions, yeah. Like the ultimate origin story. How does science even start to explain the birth of, well, everything?
It's an amazing story, really. Starts about 13.8 billion years ago, the Big Bang. But the key takeaway isn't just the number. It's realizing that initial moment, that tiny speck expanding incredibly fast, that set the stage for life itself. It created time, space, the basic building blocks, quarks, electrons, which then formed hydrogen and helium pretty quickly. Then, over millions, billions of years, gravity did its thing.
Pulling that gas together.
Exactly, igniting the first stars. And those stars became cosmic factories, forging heavier elements needed for planets, for life. Our own solar system popped up about 4.6 billion years ago, and Earth formed as this rocky world, just right somehow, for life to take hold.
And what a journey life's had on Earth. From those first simple cells, what, 3.5 billion years ago, evolving slowly into, well, everything we see now, it really shows how special Earth's conditions are.
Totally unique, as far as we know. Think about that asteroid 66 million years ago, wiped out the dinosaurs, famously. But that huge event actually cleared the way for mammals like our ancestors to really diversify and thrive.
Or reset almost.
In a way, yeah. And then eventually you get humans, maybe 300,000 years ago, starting to ask questions, explore, eventually even go into space and looking back at where we came from. Earth's uniqueness really comes down to this perfect mix: the right atmosphere, oxygen, CO2, tons of liquid water, and this incredible variety of environments, all interacting.
And when you look closer at life here, you see these amazing processes everywhere. It's not just simple biology, is it? It's all interconnected.
For sure. Think about a tiny seed growing into a huge tree germination. That's not just growth. It's like a little engine making oxygen food, homes for other creatures, or a caterpillar turning into a butterfly metamorphosis. That transformation is just mind-blowing, showing how complex and adaptable life can be, all guided by its genes.
And all these living things, us included, we're part of these bigger systems,
Ecosystems.
right? Forests and oceans, deserts, where
Right.
everything interacts.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, Those ecosystems are crucial. They're Earth's life support, basically. They clean our air and water, help control the climate, cycle nutrients. Think of a forest. Trees give shelter. Leaves make oxygen. Fungi break down dead stuff, feeding the soil.
It's a web.
A very intricate web. And understanding that really brings home our responsibility, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We need to protect this place. Conserving water, cutting waste, saving forests. It's about keeping this shared home healthy for everything living here.
Okay, let's shift from the huge scale back down to, well, us. The basics we need every day. Food, water, and all the materials we use. Food, obviously, is fundamental. Our energy source fuels growth, repair, keeps us healthy.
Yep, and water. You could argue it's the single most critical resource. Life just wouldn't exist without it. For us, it keeps us cool, hydrated, helps digestion, moves nutrients around.
Mm-hmm.
Essential. But it's also vital for farming, making power, keeping all those ecosystems going.
And the water cycle itself, evaporation, rain, that's a perfect example of science in action every single day, connecting everything.
Constantly moving, renewing, shaping the planet.
Okay, now what about stuff, the materials around us? Paper, metal, plastic, rubber, wood, glass. We use them constantly.
Right. And we often don't think about why certain things are made of certain materials, but there's always a reason. Engineers, designers, they choose materials for their specific properties. Metals are strong, conduct heat and electricity. Great for tools or wiring. Fabric is flexible, soft, perfect for clothes.
So understanding materials helps us appreciate things more, make better choices.
Both, definitely. It helps you see why something is designed the way it is. And yeah, it encourages more. Mindful consumption. Thinking about where stuff comes from, what happens to it later.
Yeah.
Which leads right into recycling, doesn't it? Understanding properties like, is it heavy? Does it bend? Mm-hmm. Does it break down? That's key for sorting things properly.
Ah, all right. So separating plastic bottles from aluminum cans isn't just random.
Not at all. It's applied science. It lets us recycle effectively, which cuts down waste, saves resources, reduces pollution. That simple act of sorting your recycling, it makes a real difference.
Okay, so all this understanding, stars, plants, water, material, it's all built on this core framework. This problem-solving tool, the scientific method. We sort of know the steps, right? Observe, guess, test, analyze to conclude. But when you're really trying to figure something out, maybe something tricky in the real world,
mm-hmm.
What's the step people stumble on most? Where's the real art to it?
That's a great way to put it. Because, yeah, it looks neat on paper, but doing it, it's messier, more back and forth, I'd say. Often the trickiest part is designing a good experiment. One that really tests your idea fairly, isolating what you want to measure, avoiding other things that could mess up the results.
Controlling the variables.
Exactly. And then the analysis. It's not just looking at numbers. It's spotting patterns in messy data, figuring out what's real and what's just noise. And, crucially, trying hard not to just see what you expected to see. Confirmation bias. That takes real discipline.
So it's about thinking like a scientist, even if you're just fixing something at home. Can you give us another quick, everyday example? Maybe something a bit more complex than a flashlight.
Sure. Okay. Let's say your Wi-Fi is terrible in one part of the house. Calls keep dropping. Annoying.
Okay. Right. Yes. Been there.
Okay. So, observation. Wi-Fi stinks in the back room. Calls drop. Question. Why is it so bad back there? How can I fix it? Hypothesis. Maybe the router is too far away. Moving it closer, maybe more central, should give a better signal there. Educated guess.
Makes sense.
Experiment. Okay. Move the router. Then you actually test it. Check the signal strength in that back room multiple times. Try making calls. Maybe compare it to a spot where the Wi-Fi was always good.
Be systematic about it.
Right. Analysis. Look at the results. Did the signal get stronger? Are calls stable now? Or is it still bad? Did anything else change? Conclusion and next steps. If it worked, great. Hypothesis supported. If not, well, the router location probably wasn't the main problem. It's not failure. It just means you need a new hypothesis.
Like maybe the walls are too thick or there's interference.
Exactly. So you form a new hypothesis, say, interference from the microwave is the issue, and design a new experiment to test that. Maybe try turning off the microwave during a call. See, it's a process. Helps you figure things out logically instead of just randomly trying stuff.
Got it. And just to clear up a couple of things people sometimes get wrong, first, this scientific method, it's not like a super rigid checklist you have to follow A, B, C, D perfectly every time.
No, not at all. It's flexible. You might jump back and forth between steps. Observe something during an experiment that makes you ask a new question or rethink your hypothesis. It's iterative.
And second, a hypothesis. It's not a fact, is it? It's more like
an educated guess. A proposed explanation.
Yeah.
It's the starting point that needs testing, testing, and more testing. Maybe peer review. It's definitely not the final answer right out of the gate.
Right. Okay, wow, what a tour. We started with that spark of curiosity we all have, then zoomed out to the whole universe back to our amazing Earth, looked at the essentials like food and water, the materials we use, and wrapped up with understanding the scientific method as this powerful tool. This whole recap, this deep dive, was really about nurturing that sense of wonder, wasn't it? And giving you the confidence to look around, ask questions, and investigate your world.
Absolutely. It's about seeing that anytime you wonder why or how something works, anytime you troubleshoot a problem step by step, you're basically doing science, whether you call it that or not.
So think about it. As you go about your day, what little mystery, or maybe big one, could you use that scientific approach to unravel next? And don't forget, your AI buddy, EB.AI, is always there, ready for your next question.